Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org, and by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, providing the financial expertise that helps both our members and our communities thrive. Thrivent Financial. Let's thrive.
And they're off.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Retailers really couldn't have asked for a better start to the holiday season. Considering all the economic doom and gloom, shoppers turned out in droves over the weekend. Sales for Friday and Saturday were 7% higher than last year. Today is Cyber Monday, as dubbed by the National Retail Federation. A lot of stores are having one-day online sales to keep people in the shopping mood. But the Grinch could be out there somewhere, plotting.
I must stop Christmas from coming. But how?
Could all those toy recalls be his idea? Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Toy recalls happen every year, but this year some famous names like Thomas the Tank Engine lost their place on the shelves. Chris Byrne is a toy analyst. He says the recalls may have made parents a little wary, but most won't change their buying habits because they don't want to be the Grinch who stole Christmas.
When parents are buying holiday gifts, it's about order fulfillment or wish granting, more kindly put. If there is a decline in the toy industry, I think it's going to have to do with other macroeconomic issues.
Like high gas prices or maxed out credit cards. He says this holiday season could be the safest in years.
The level of testing at all stages of production that's been going on for toys that are now coming into the U.S., I think that they can buy with more confidence.
Byrne says lead paint may have grabbed the headlines in the last few months, but he says lead doesn't top the list of what toy buyers should worry about. Loose toy parts are still the biggest threat, especially for children under three. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Stock market investors seem to be in a buying mood this morning. European shares have gained about a half a percent so far. In Japan today, the Nikkei closed almost 2% higher. Wall Street ended last week with a positive bounce, but for the week, the major U.S. indexes lost a percent and a half. The Dow begins Monday at 12,980. Oil is trading just below $99 a barrel this morning. Wall Street is trying to assess the latest quarterly profit reports. Bob Moon looks at the winners and losers.
Some of the corporate report cards were downright awful, but Wall Street's been focused on the head of the class. So while it's true JCPenney did poorly, analyst Art Hogan at Jefferies & Company is paying more attention to Walmart's better-than-expected third-quarter results. He gives the retail giant passing grades not only because of its size, but he says it's not as reliant on discretionary consumer spending. And while residential real estate and mortgage companies predictably took a beating, tech stocks did well. Hogan expects more of the same.
As we wind down a year, you tend to have portfolio managers that chase performance. The losers get sold more, and the momentum there continues, and the winners get bought more aggressively and continue to ride. So that tends to widen that gap between the winners and the losers, and the laggards fall further behind, and the winners gain momentum.
All in all, Hogan argues, the latest quarter wasn't awful.
We've had a host of bad news. Some of it still lingers, especially on the financial side. But I think the broader economy may well be able to orchestrate a soft landing and have a strengthening pattern next year.
For now, it seems, Wall Street investors tend to agree. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com and by Siemens. From grade school to grad school, Siemens supports America's next generation of innovators with Student Science Days, plus scholarships and awards for students, schools, and teachers. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
There's a new investment option out there you might not have heard about. It's called an exchange-traded note. Large banks like Barclays are offering them. It's essentially a mutual fund IOU. So the bank says, at a later date, we will pay you the value of a certain set of stocks. But these exchange-traded notes seem to come with an unexpected tax advantage that mutual funds don't have. In fact, the mutual fund business is pretty upset about it. Mr. Sloan, what's got him so upset?
Well, it goes like this. Let's say if you own in a taxable account a mutual fund that owns stocks, the dividends that those stocks pay are taxable to you every year. The company pays the mutual fund. The mutual fund distributes the dividends to you, and it's taxable as a dividend. However, with these notes, instead of paying you a dividend every year, these notes roll the dividend into the notes, so you don't actually get a distribution. And because you're not getting a distribution, there's no tax due until you sell the thing, and then it's all taxed at the capital gains rate.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like not a bad deal for the investor.
Right. Well, it would be a great deal for the investor, and I'm an investor, Scott.
Yeah.
mean, it's not like...
So what's the problem? Well,
the problem is I have this childlike idea that someone has to pay taxes to support the United States. I know it's childish. I know it's immature and probably makes me some sort of zealot. And now to Barclays' credit, they insist, and I believe them, that they designed these exchange-traded notes to be a product so that a retail customer could buy stuff that normally only big people buy. And the tax advantage turned out to be secondary. But now that they think there is one, of course, they're promoting it. But that's not what they had in mind. So this would be great for Barclays if it works. It would be great, you know, to own the stuff in a taxable account and not pay any tax on my dividends. But I think it would be terrible social policy.
Well, are any regulators going to do anything about this?
That's the zillion-dollar question. And I guess we're going to have a test case one of these days. But so far, there's been no official comment out of the Treasury or the Internal Revenue Service. And because it's not a mutual fund, there are no taxes due on whatever the assets earn until somebody gives you a check, which they right now don't plan to do.
All right, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Thanks.
You're welcome, Scott. Happy taxes.
You can always share your thoughts with us at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.